This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Koo Soo Chuang with Wong Shao Ning on The Morning Run. 7.06 in the morning, 30th of June 2022, last day of the first half of the year. So if you want to get in your car purchases, today is the day.
Yeah, final chance. Hurry
final
up.
Chance to get the SST exemption.
Provided you get your car delivered by March.
So in about 30 minutes, we'll speak to Felix Lee, the equity analyst at Morningstar, on China's surging chip-making industry. But in the meantime, let's recap how global markets ended yesterday.
Not so good. The Dow, though, was up 0.3%, but S&P 500 down 0.1%, and the Nasdaq was down marginally 0.03%, basically going nowhere.
Nowhere, yeah.
But in Asia, it was a bit of a down day for Japan. Nikkei was down 0.9%. Hang Seng down a whopping 1.9%. Shanghai down 1.4%. While Singapore Straits Times Index and our very own FBM KLCI were both down 0.2%.
Okay, so to expand on the markets and to give us some sense of what's going on, we now turn to Vishnu Bharathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Now, Vishnu, we've seen the US inflation data. The rate is at 8.6%. So that's more than four times the desired rate. Great. And of course, some data from the U.S. suggesting that the 4th of July weekend has seen some, you know, some demand destruction because of the way oil prices are, gas prices. What is your opinion in terms of how economic activity in America will happen this coming quarter?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And especially coming on the back of, backward-looking data that suggests that consumption might have actually been weaker than GDP numbers had suggested earlier. So it does appear that whilst the consumer in terms of retail sales may not have been knocked back dramatically, at the margin, a lot more is going to paying higher prices rather than consuming more goods. And increasingly, that's going to lead to some belt tightening along the way, particularly if they're not convinced that prices will be under control. So this validates the Fed's point of view that their foremost priority right now is to ensure that inflation expectations don't get unmoored at this point of time. And I think the other aspect to this is we also need to bear in mind that getting into this year, one big sense about households and corporates in the US is that they're sitting on higher saving rates that could buffer them. But those are being drawn down quite quickly. Perhaps the instinct to conserve more if prices are rising rapidly also rises, which changes the function of how quickly they want to draw down on these.
So Vishnu, from what I'm hearing from you, it sounds like there is beginning to be demand destruction due to the high prices. But then does this change what the Fed will be doing to combat inflation? Because it is four times what they want, with their target rate is 2%.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think in fact, Jerome Powell went so far as to use the term unconditional when he was talking about how their approach to assaulting inflation would be. The one thing that it brought about was at this, I think the big change in the way the Fed is looking at inflation now is how they have, compared to much earlier this year, they needed to see evidence of inflation becoming a threat before they quickly ramped up. Now their point of view is that we need to see evidence that inflation is cooling, in fact, compelling evidence, to quote him, that inflation is cooling before they back down. In a sense, how it has changed their game plan is A, much higher rate hikes. So much higher and front-loaded rate hikes are now the norm. 50 is the new 25. And for now, they're sticking to 75 basis points per hike until they can see some signs of cooling. That's the first part. Second part is, I think, a lot in the communication. They continue to stress that they are watching inflation very carefully, and hopefully that translates into some of the inflation expectations also being adjusted and augmented. But the last part of this is what's unsaid. It is just sheer hope. There's nothing more to it because as other central banks, and not the Fed, has pointed out, Fed hasn't pointed this out very pointedly, but other central banks have stated that inflation is not just a matter of monetary policy, particularly the current brand, which is coming from price shocks beyond the control or not necessarily driven by demand. Demand is a second order thing. And so there's just fingers crossed as a strategy, if that can be a strategy, I suppose.
So one of the reasons why markets rallied last week, Vishnu, was the fact that the week at that point, the weak economic data suggested a lower Fed funds rate than expected, which is obviously good for so-called risk assets. Given this latest spate of weak data, again, whether it's consumer sentiment, whether it's in fact US Q2 GDP, do you expect a similar bounce, maybe even a dead cat bounce in markets next week?
I think... In finding out whether cats have got a pulse or not, it gets a bit tricky. In particular, trying to find Goldilocks in this case is very tricky because we want to find out exactly how weak the weakness in data has to be just nice, such that markets don't tip over into the fear of a recession, but know that data that the economy is cooling at a pace that will see the Fed stepping back. So it's really a very fine line, a knife's edge in terms of the first order interpretation of data itself to see how strong the economy is, and the second order, which is more complex because of the feedback on how the Fed would react to that data. And you are clearly right, which is as long as markets think that the Fed won't be as aggressive, at least then there would be a reflex to buy back risk assets, particularly given they're so sold down. But with regards to last week in particular, the warning here is that it was the quarter end close. So that might have been a short squeeze that was exaggerated. And so we don't want to assume the same same order of optimism whenever data weakens.
Okay, point taken, Vishnu. But another data point for you to consider. One survey from New Jersey, actually, this bank called Provident Bank, suggested, having surveyed nearly 1,000 adults, saying that 83% of respondents have slashed personal spending due to soaring prices. 23% indicated they had to make drastic changes to their spending for financial survival. So if this dreaded R word happens, recession, does that portend a slowdown in the economy, the so-called slowdown that the Fed appears to be trying to engineer?
So what's interesting is, just overnight we had the ECB Monetary Forum at Sintra, and there was a panel with, the Fed, the ECB, and the BOE, and you had Powell saying quite distinctly that of course they're not aiming or for a recession outcome, but that would be the lesser evil compared to inflation getting out of hands. So if they needed to go through a recession, but just to anchor inflation expectations, that in their minds would be short term pain versus very very durable, but adverse dynamics in the economy. So unfortunately, and they did admit to a very blunt tool, which would cause some pain. So that, as dreaded as it is, I think that it is not out of the realms of the possible outcomes the Fed is weighing off.
Okay, Vishnu, let's turn our attention to oil. Currently, Brent crude, $116 a barrel at the moment. But you wrote in one of your commentaries that oil remains a binary risk for the global economy. What do you mean by that?
I didn't put it very well, I suppose. But what I really meant was, we are going to get one of two things. You're either going to get elevated and sticky oil being a real thorn for inflation, and that leads to a much more aggressive policy response with the Fed tightening a lot more, so on and so forth. And that in turn leads to recession. And so we can have that outcome, or we could get a very, very sharp plunge in oil prices as tends to happen whenever markets get fearful, particularly given their financial linkages. And that exacerbates a downturn. So it's not unlike what we saw at the initial onset of COVID, when oil prices plunge and cause financial markets to get into more of a turmoil. And that could exacerbate the downturn. And so the point really goes to this, which is that, expecting oil to do that very nice glide path downwards that eases the pain on the economy and achieves a soft landing, it's trickier than we expect it to be, because oil tends to have tipping point risks and tends to be very, very volatile around recessions. And so either it's going to make the Fed a lot more aggressive, or it could deepen whatever recession that follows. And that's the point about oil, that it tends to be very pro-cyclical that way.
All right. Vishnu, thanks so much for your time. That was Vishnu Bharathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, pointing out the the twin side effects of high interest rates, which is basically demand destruction or high, even higher prices, which has obviously led to a lot of impacts at the consumer level, even at the retail level. And in America, Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know whether you've been there, but it's basically one of the kind of consumer staple stocks where you know, you go there for your staple toiletries. Well, they are replacing CEO Mark Tritton in a leadership shakeup because they've struggled through another quarter of declining sales. They released first quarter results, loss per share of $2.83 versus $1.39. So they actually lost more money than expected.
Yeah, so one key indicator that we pay attention to, which is same store sales, declined 24% in the quarter compared with a year ago, worse than the 20.1% drop in that analysts expected. Even online sales fell by 21% during that same period. I think this is another retailer that's not doing well. Recently, we saw results coming out. Target, we saw that with Gap, all reporting similar declines in their earnings. This one, I think it's due to the fact that when consumers wanted it, they didn't have the goods. And then when the goods were back in the store, consumers didn't want it anymore. So it's a bit of this inventory mismatch. But as a result, the stock is actually down 65% on the year-to-date basis. Share price last night, close to $5. It was down $1.50. Two buys, nine holds, nine sells for this, based on Bloomberg analysts. Projection, so not a hot favorite on Wall Street at the moment.
Okay, interesting news, and obviously not great for Bed Bath Beyond. 7:17 in the morning, we'll come back after this with some more with Akash Gupta of Fitch Ratings on CPO prices, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.